Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
In alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah Ta'ala, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. We praise him, we seek his help, and we ask for his forgiveness. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. We seek refuge with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our actions, that we recognize that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed us with choices, and that a part of those choices is that we have consequences, and we can't make choices as it regards to the consequences. And so we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil choices that we make and from the evil consequences of those decisions. Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lahu. Whomever Allah guides, no one and nothing can lead him astray. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. And whomever he leads astray because of that person's own wretchedness, because of what he has chosen for himself, because of his oppression of other people, then no one else and nothing else can give that person guidance. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. And I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone and without partner. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we want to focus on the importance of character. And Allah knows best, but in the next at least month, on into the month of February, we want to focus on some specific aspects of character. Perhaps Allah will cause us to improve as a result of that. The reason for that is because when we look at relationships, whether it is our relationship with our Creator, whether it's our relationship with our spouses, our relationship with our children, our relationship with our friends, the success and failure of relationships is often predicated, is often based upon character. And nowhere is that more present than in the Muslim family. And how we interact with one another determines how much we want to be around each other and how much we want to be away from each other. And because of the importance of character, it has been mentioned that this is the purpose for which the Prophet ﷺ himself had been sent. As mentioned in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَا مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ I've only been sent to perfect good character. And a good character as it relates to how we interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we interact with one another. Also in the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا That the most complete individual in faith is the person who has, is the believer who has the best character. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا The believer with the most complete faith is the one who has the best character. And so an individual looks at himself. And salat is a part of character. Charity, zakat is a part of character. Fasting is a part of character. Birr walidain is a part of character. How you speak is a part of character. What you say is a part of character. How you feel towards others, what you want for other people, how you feel about the blessings you see with other people, it's all a part of character. Notice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ Say to my slaves, say to those who have submitted themselves willfully to me, to always say that which is best, to always speak well, regardless of how you feel. You might be angry, you might be upset, you might be bothered, you might feel like your rights have not been fulfilled. Regardless of that, Allah says, it says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directing him and directing his ummah, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي Say to my slaves, those who have said, La ilaha illallah, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ To always say that which is best. Because he doesn't mention a specific situation. So it means always to say that which is best. And this is why, when it comes to speaking, Allah forgive us where we fall short. When it comes to speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied that to belief, to iman. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever believes, truly believes in Allah and the last day. If you believe that Allah is your Lord and that you have to submit to Him and that you are His slave, and if you believe that He is going to hold you accountable on the day of judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لَيَسْمُتْ Then let that person speak well or keep his mouth shut. And so how we interact with one another is a part of character. Again, it's not just what we wear. It's not how we dress and how we act and what we show to people in terms of outward religiosity, but how we deal with one another, our honesty, how well we can hold our tongues is also a part of character. And it's especially important for those who have been given authority. In authority relationships, it's very important to have good character. Because oftentimes, when you are a subordinate, when you are under someone else's authority, you feel that you have to have good character or not, because you don't want to lose the relationship. When you're an employee, you have to act in the right way. You have to bite your tongue because you don't want to lose your job. When you're a child, you have to speak well to your parents because you don't want to lose out on the things that you need from them. But when you are the one in authority, when you don't need anything or you don't appear to need anything from those around you, it's very easy to neglect good character. But it's important to understand that that's when character is most important. Why? Because since there's no benefit tied to it, that means when you do it, you're doing it and you're mukhlis. You're only doing it for Allah. And that's what makes it pure worship. Allah mentions, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضُكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ He is the one that made you successors in the earth. And some people are in power and then they die and other people take over and so on. It happens on a grand scale and it happens on a small scale. You were once a child. You were at once, you were the one in need. You were the one who had to suck it up and deal with it. Because you weren't the authority. And then your parents became old. And perhaps they passed away. And you became the man of the house. Now you're the one with the authority. Allah makes you successors. And he puts some of you above others to test you in what he's given you. To test you in what he's given you. Now, and so in our search for good character, one of the places that we can look, one of the sources for good character is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as Allah mentions himself in the Quran in numerous places, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. And the beauty of these names are found in the qualities. And the beauty of these qualities is found in the fact that they're not just names. These are actual qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has. And so because he has these qualities, and because he has chosen names based upon these qualities, it means that these qualities are beautiful qualities to have. Now, it's important that we not be confused in this issue, in thinking like Christians believe, and many other people might believe, that you can be like God. That's not possible. Allah mentions in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He says there's nothing at all like his likeness. There's nothing like anything like him. And if there was something like him, there's nothing like what's like him. So being directly like him is impossible. And then he affirms for himself that he is hearing, all hearing, that he is hearing and that he's seeing. And so the qualities of hearing and seeing are not specific to Allah. Allah mentions about mankind in Surah Al-Insan, in the Surah named mankind, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfa. We created mankind from sperm. Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin nabatali. Faja'alnahu sami'an basira. We made him hearing and seeing. And so Allah affirms the qualities of hearing and sight for himself. And he affirms the qualities of hearing and sight for his slaves. It's a quality. The reality of the quality is different. It's different. Just like it is with animals. You know, a dog hears much differently than we hear. But they hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears. And there's no comparison to his hearing amongst the creation. And he sees. And there's no comparison of his seeing to the creation. But that doesn't negate the fact that we have those qualities. And so when we look at the praiseworthy qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about himself, that it's those qualities that we should also try to have in the best way that a human being can have those qualities. In the best way that a human being can have those qualities. And to that regard, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions Al-Ihsan min sifati. That excellence is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities. Wa huwa al-muhsin. And he is the one who is exemplary in how he deals with others. Wa yuhibbu min ibadihi al-muhsinin. And he loves those who have exceptional behavior and character amongst his slaves. Wa huwa sabir. And he is patient and forbearant. وَيُحِبُّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And he loves his slaves who are patient. وَهُوَ شَاكِرٌ. And he is appreciative. وَيُحِبُّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And he loves his slaves who are appreciative. وَهُوَ الْعَفُوُ. And he is partner. He is the partner. وَيُحِبُّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Al-afuwin, that he loves from his slaves those who pardon. And so it's from this springboard that I want to talk about a quality that I deem, and Allah knows best the reality, that I deem is perhaps absent from many of our homes, and that's the quality of appreciativeness. Learning to be appreciative. And when we talk about appreciativeness, oftentimes we talk about appreciativeness as it relates to our relationship with Allah. But especially in authority relationships, it's important that we learn to be appreciative of those who are under our care. And when you look at a job, when you're a manager or an employer, if all you do is write pink slips and tell your employees what they're not doing right, what's going to happen? They're not going to be motivated to work for you anymore. We can do it at the job. But sometimes we find it challenging to bring that same quality to the home. And so when we interact with our wives, when we interact with our children, we notice the things that they do wrong. And those are the only things, or the majority of the things, that we talk about. But what they do well, what they did right, what they excel in, we neglect those things oftentimes because we feel that they are their duties. This is what you're supposed to do. I take care of you. I feed you. I provide for you. I expect that you do what I tell you to do. I expect that you be timely in doing it. I expect that you work hard. Why? Because that's your end of the bargain. I go out and work and provide a comfortable space for you, and you are obedient to me. I cook dinner for you each night. I wash your clothes. I expect when I tell you to do something that you do it. I don't need to thank you for that. It's a part of your duty. You don't thank me. The problem with that is that we oftentimes we neglect our relationship with Allah. And we neglect to see his example of appreciativeness in our own lives. And so we look at ourselves and we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us when we do something right and how he deals with us when we do something wrong. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever does a good deed, he gets 10 times. Wa man ja'a bis sayyiati fala yujza illa mithlaha. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Wa man ja'a bis sayyiati فَلَا يُجْزَىٰ إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And whoever comes with an evil, he will only be rewarded with the evil like it, and he'll not be oppressed. SubhanAllah. Every time you do good, Allah recognizes that good 10 times more than what was done. And when you made a mistake, he counts it only as one mistake, and he says, and you will not be oppressed. That's not the example that most of us follow. We make the bad things, the mistakes, we make that the biggest thing. That's what we talk about. That's what we nag about. That's what we keep repeating over and over and over again. And then when we see good, oh, that's good. That's nice. And we keep it moving. And then when we see wrong, we sometimes transgress. We do oppress. Allah says he doesn't oppress. You won't be oppressed with him. But we oppress. We get to talking about one another and saying things about one another that a Muslim should not say about another Muslim. We call one another names. We're not appreciative for the goodness that we have. And wallahi, if the person died in his sleep, we would cry and wail and talk about how much we missed them and oh, and this, that, and the other. But we couldn't find the means to do that while they're alive. While they're alive, all we focus on is the negativity. While they're alive, all we focus on is what they don't do right. And then when they're dead, then we want to stand in front of everyone and sing their praises. We have to learn to think a little bit more and to reflect a little bit more. And we have to reflect on the goodness that Allah shows to us, which is why we love him, which is why we stay in Islam. It's why we're in Islam, because we recognize Allah's goodness in spite of the fact that he is the authority, in spite of the fact that he doesn't have to reward us for anything, that he continues to be good to us. And so we recognize that. And because we appreciate that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we try to reciprocate that and mirror that goodness. Again, it can't be exactly the same. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Insurmountable difference between what we can be and what Allah is. But we try to be the best we can be as human beings. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of mankind, Allah mentions in Surah Ali Imran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you had been harsh and hard-hearted with them, the Sahaba, they would have run away from you. In spite of you being an excellent worshiper of Allah, in spite of you receiving revelation, character is what keeps relationships together. You think about Allah and all the times you ask Him for something. And then you think about how well you keep your duty to Him. You think about the salat that you're neglectful in. I mean, subhanAllah, in the ayat that's found in the middle of the ayat related to fasting. Let's listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. He says to His Prophet, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask about you, then I am close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer the call of the one who calls on me when he calls on me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Then let them answer me when I call. Allah calls you five times a day. Five times a day. How quick are you to answer that call? We drag our feet to the masjid. And that's oftentimes the best of us. Because at least we're going. Some of us don't go. Some of us don't pray until the end of the day. We combine prayers that Allah hasn't legislated be combined. And some of us lose out on prayers. We don't pray them because we don't have time to. But then when you're suffering, when you're going through it, you expect Allah to answer you now. I'm calling on you now. Answer me now. And then we look at our children. We look at our children. We look at our spouses. We look at those under our authority. And when they ask us, in spite of the fact that they've neglected some of their duties, are we as accepting as we expect Allah to be of us? Are we as forgiving as we want Allah to be with us? We have to reflect. We have to look. We have to consider. We have to ponder. A person disbelieves for 20 years of his life, for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years. He did what he wanted to do. He didn't acknowledge that Allah was his Lord. He didn't make a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah blesses him with guidance. And he says, Allah, I believe. And Allah wipes out 40 years and 50 years of disbelief and accepts it from him. Even though he won't live another 50 years. You know, the people who live to be 100, how many of them are there? You can't live as much kufr as you lived. You can't do in Islam as much disbelief as you did prior to it. But Allah wipes out all the evil that you did. He overlooked it because you repented and said, I'm sorry. But when those who have wronged us from our families, from those who are close to us, when they wrong us, when they do wrong by us, and then they come to us and say, we're sorry, we were wrong, we shouldn't have done it. Do we let it go or do we hold a grudge? Do we show to them the goodness that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's important that we work on this character and that we recognize the beauty of this character and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this character. And it's an example that He gives. You want to see a test? We have to read the Quran. Read Surah to Yusuf. Read Surah to Yusuf and you see what brothers did to a brother. They cast him in a well. And based upon him being in that well, he was falsely accused by a woman of accosting her, trying to rape her. And then he was sent to prison for 3 to 10 years. And after all of that, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتِ يُوسف? Are you Yusuf? Wow. Allah sure has been good to you, and we sure messed up when we did wrong by you. What did he say? You darn right you did. What mercy do you expect from me now? لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. I don't hold anything against you. And that ability to forgive comes from an understanding of decree. That no one can harm you. That when it comes to what we expect of goodness and uprightness, that Allah is in control of that, not us. Our harshness, our evil words, our punishments, our threats. If Allah doesn't help that person to be better, there's nothing you're going to do to change that. So all you do is you advise, you give advice, you be kind, and you pray for them, and you ask Allah to make them better. And then when you see that Allah is answering your dua, you see that character change in the individual, you don't reject it. You say, Alhamdulillah, that guided him. Alhamdulillah, that turned him around. Alhamdulillah, that turned me around and accepts where I fall short. This is the character. This is the character that we are encouraged to have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who exemplify good character.
Amen.
Who recognize the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characters and qualities and characteristics. Amen. And that we try our best to have good character as He has prescribed for us to have. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we've talked about the importance of good character in general, and more specifically the importance of being appreciative. And know that not learning to be appreciative of those around you, it is a quality of the people of hell. Not just being inappreciative to Allah. And being inappreciative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the quality by which Allah distinguishes the people of Jannah and the people of hell. As mentioned again in Surah Al-Insan, the chapter named after mankind. وَإِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. And we have guided him to the path, either grateful and ungrateful. And wallahi, if we understood the Quran and understood Arabic, we could even see Allah's goodness in that. Because he says, shakir, using the simple doer construction, fa'il. And he shows ingratitude using the emphatic structure, fa'ul, kafur. Showing that he accepts a little bit of gratitude. He accepts a little bit of gratitude. But that gratitude, again, it's not just gratitude to him, but it's gratitude to the creation. And neglecting gratitude to the creation can be a cause of entering hell. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of Eid, he gave a khutbah that perhaps because of the distance of the women behind the men, they were unable to hear. And so he came to them and gave them their own specific khutbah. And at the end of it, he said, give charity. Because most of you are, because I see that most of you are inhabitants of hell. And so because they had concern about their religion, because they had concern about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did they say? One of them stood up and said, why? Tell us the characteristics that you see in us, that you see of women, that has made them the majority of those in hell. He said, because you complain a lot. And because you are unappreciative. Takfurn al-ashir. If your husband was good to you all of your life, and then you saw one negative quality, you would say, I've never seen any good from you. This is how he described women. Unfortunately, this is the quality that is found in the majority of people. That we focus on the small negative aspect
And we act like that's all that exists. And we forget the goodness that we see in people. We forget their kindness. We forget their compassion. We forget their good qualities. And we only harp on the negative. That we realize that as a Muslim, that's bad character. That's a fault that needs to be fixed. It's one of many. And like any fault, the human being realizes that he's weak. That unlike the kuffar, who in this month of January, they begin it by making resolutions about what they will change about the negative qualities of their lives. That a Muslim understands, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That there is no change of a bad situation and no power to bring a good situation except with Allah's help. And so a part of seeking Allah's help is realizing the power of Surah Al-Fatiha. And that a person who does not pray is a loser. He's a loser because he's not asking for the guidance that Allah has required of him to ask for, that's necessary for him to improve and become better in his life. When you say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, you are asking Allah to guide you in Islam to whatever you need of knowledge, to whatever you need of actions to be better and to get to Jannah and to gain His pleasure. It's a general dua that covers whatever of your life is faulty, whatever of your life needs improvement. And so a part of your hidayah, a part of the guidance that you ask Allah to help you with, is guidance to good character. And that's why in his prayer, at the beginning of the prayer, as reported by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that from the dua that the Prophet ﷺ would make when he stood up at night to pray, a long dua, a part of that dua, he would say, Wahdini ila ahsan al-akhlaq, guide me to good character. Notice he says, guide me, ihdini. That same dua that he makes in Surah Al-Fatiha, he made it specifically when he would stand up to pray at night for good character. He would mention good character specifically, even though it's included in that general dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, because of its importance. Wahdini ila ahsan al-akhlaq, guide me to the best, to exceptional character. Then notice what he says. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. Only you can guide to exceptional character. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha, and turn away from me bad character, evil character. La yasrif anni sayyi'aha illa ant. Only you can turn me away from poor character. And so a Muslim makes this a part of his dua. If Allah blesses him to get up at night, or as he says, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, that a part of what comes in his heart when he's thinking about the different types of guidance that he needs from Allah is that what comes to his heart is his character and where he falls short in it and the idea that he needs Allah's help in it, that he asks Allah to guide him to better character, and that when he sees improvement in his character and the character of his family members, that he praises Allah for it and he recognizes that it's not him. It's not his own ability, his own power, his own good upbringing. Nah, because you have brothers and sisters. You all came from the same parents, the same household, with the same DNA, but you're different. And when you have the same causes, but different outcomes, you know it's not you. Two people take the same medicine, same illness. One gets better, one doesn't. Allah's in control. Same household, same upbringing, same DNA. One went this way, one went that way. It's not you. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be appreciative of His goodness. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى أَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Guide us to good character. None can guide to exceptional character except for you. وَاصْرِفْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَهَا, and remove from us evil character. لَا يَصْرِفْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ.